you are not a child, you are stuck here with me. Take your Bibles. We're going through the book of Revelation. We are in the last chapter of the book. Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22. All right, we're going to do... Well, let's start out with prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that it would be encouraging to us, that as we look at these future events, that we would be encouraged to know that the crazy insanity of this world has not taken you by surprise, but you have a plan way off into the future, long after this world has passed away. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. May we be so encouraged tonight as we pray and look to you in your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. The last chapter of the book, Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Boy, Frank's going to love that garden. He plants his tomato plants and he gets a season out of them, but he is not getting a season every month. And they're long since plowed under. Why is it? Well, we're under the curse. But verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. I just find it amazing that there are people today that call themselves Christians, disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, but they have no time to serve the Lord. You are going to be lonely for all eternity. His servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. People look at that and go, that sounds weird. Hold on, we'll get to that. Verse 5, and there shall be no night there. How many of you are afraid of the dark? Have afraid of the dark people? All right, Bob, all right, I like the light. And Mrs. Bishop goes away, I turn a light on in the house and it doesn't go off the whole time she's there. First thing she does when she comes back home, she turns the light off. But man, I could call it my eternal flame of love. I don't like the dark. I do not like the dark. No night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. Why? For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I'll do a little quiz this evening. How many of you, when you read a book, you like to start with the last chapter? Do we have any? Oh, Caitlin does. Oh, you do. All right, Amanda does. Just three of us? Just three honest people? How many of you start at the first chapter and just read from start to... Okay, weird people. You are weird people. Just because you're in the majority doesn't make you right. I start at the end. But keep your finger here in Revelation chapter 22. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. You see the beauty of the continuity of Scripture. It's interesting about your Bible. The heading for the book of Revelation says, the revelation of St. John the Divine, right? But look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. That's not what it says. That may be man's heading, but what is the heading that God has given to the book of Revelation? The revelation of St. John Divine? No, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. revelation of Jesus Christ. After the millennial reign, okay, so here we are, church age, leading up to here, and this poll represents a rapture of the church. The platform is 7 years of tribulation, and at the end of the tribulation is great battle, the second coming. Second coming, the rapture is way over there. The rapture is not the second coming. The rapture is when Jesus Christ returned for his saints. The second coming is when Christ plants his feet on the Mount of Olives. And the Battle of Armageddon takes place, which leads into the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. After the thousand-year millennial great reign of Christ, there is a battle, a final battle, and which brings us into where we were last week in Revelation chapter 21, a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, that great spear, four-sided city that is coming down and resting on a foundation, which is planet Earth. And so this chapter, Revelation 22, is way out there. I just say God's got a plan. And nothing that takes place in the world today takes God by surprise. Nothing. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. God's word is still forever settled in heaven. And so we see the tree of life. We see 12 manner of fruit. There's going to be plenty of food, fruit every month. Healing. What is that? Health-giving, therapeutic. And God's word is healing. It'd be helpful. And in the nine years in police work, and during those 9 years of police work, after the first 2 years, I found a Walkman, and I had the Bible on cassette. Tell you how old I am. Some young people don't know what a cassette tape is. And I went through the New Testament every 21 days. I ran 4 miles to work, and I would listen to the Bible, and I would run after work. After my shift, I would run 4 miles back home. Why? Because there's no property tax on tennis shoes. And I would listen to the Bible. Every 21 days, I would cycle through the New Testament from Matthew to Revelation. And I did that for 7 years, every 21 days. What was it? I'll tell you what, after you deal with bad guys all day long, people yelling and screaming and cussing and kicking and spitting on you, you need some healing. It is the Word of God is therapeutic. It will help you. It will calm you. It will calm your spirit. It is healing. And there is life and healing, eternal and everlasting life. If you enjoy last things, you'll enjoy this last chapter of the Bible. An amazing Bible emphasis. In the book of Revelation, we have the last Beatitudes. Sevens in the book of Revelation are incredible. And in this last chapter, there are the last two of the seven Beatitudes of the book of Revelation. Blessed. Blessed are they that keep the prophecy. Blessed are they that obey God's word. And the blesseds are so important. Blessed is he. Look at verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed, that beatitude, what beatitude means, blessing. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. It's important not just to know God's word, but to obey God's word. We mention that they will serve God. Verse 3, his servants shall serve him. And as I read that verse and prepared my outline, I thought, this question, do you serve the Lord today? Right now? Because for all eternity, that's what we will do forever and ever. Verse 4, we see his face. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and we'll have access to God. Last week we mentioned that there will be no temple there. Why? You think that's a problem for the Jewish people? Jewish people are very focused on the temple. But why will there be no temple? Because Jesus Christ will be there. And there is no need for that. No need of a place. Because you will be with the person. Way too much emphasis on going to be at a place, heaven, rather than going to be with the person of Jesus Christ. A name would be in their foreheads. So that's a kind of an interesting thought and a troubling verse and phrase to people that go, I don't know that I want God's name in my forehead. How many of you wear ball caps? Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you got on that ball cap? You got an emblem. You got some kind of an emblem of your favorite football team. You wear names in your forehead right now and you display it. And people all over the world. And you go to a restaurant, somebody served in Vietnam or World War II, they have a cap and on their forehead. You can tell if they were on a submarine or if they were on a destroyer or if they were on a battlefield. And I have a habit of going up and shaking their hand and saying, thank you for serving our country. Why? Because they got that displayed. Where is it? On their forehead. And they're very excited about that. Jesus Christ, we ought to display that right now, wherever we go. Not just waiting for eternity. And there's tragedy every day. You're following the news the last 24 hours. You know that UPS had a wide-body cargo plane that crashed and exploded in a ball of fire as it was taking off. It's going to explode in a ball of fire. Why is that? It's loaded with fuel. And when a plane crashes as it's taking off, a very, very dangerous, dangerous time. Growing up, I loved airplanes. I really wanted to be a missionary aviator. And that's what I wanted to do. And that's what my heart was set on. And so I would go down, I would ride my bike to town and go to the library and I would read the latest issue of Flying Magazine. And I would go to the section of airplane crashes. And typically it's 2 or 3, sometimes 4 or 5 years after the event, before the NTSB releases their finding about what happened. And many, I can't remember ever reading one of those crash events where it didn't say some kind of pilot error. So I haven't seen anything about the crash as I wrote the outline, except to know that when bad things are happening in an airplane, all kinds of warning signs, bells go off, lights start flashing. And I have to wonder, as they're in the cockpit, what they were thinking as those warning lights started to go off. Many of those after-action events that I read growing up as a teenager talked about those warning signs, those bells and whistles. And I thought, and many times in the cockpit, the pilot would be, I don't want to say distracted, but there were so many warnings going off that they probably could not even begin to process which action they needed to take first or next, because there are so many things happening. Now, it so happens that in this, it looks like that as the UPS plane was taking off, that one of its engines fell off the plane. They said that this afternoon. That's not good. That's not good. How in the world does an engine fall off the plane? Maybe they missed cracks or warning signs or in the airframe. They just missed that. Maybe the last mechanic that worked at it was busy and said, you know, I'll tighten these bolts next time. What's the big deal? But the engine fell off, and the results, as we know, were catastrophic. But I thought about the day and age in which we live. We just yesterday had an election. And you look at that and you think, wow, what in the world is going on in this world? All kinds of lights and warning signs going off. And if you're not careful as you pilot through your daily activities, you'll become immune to the warning signs, whistles that are going off all around you, and you'll miss it. But the Bible tells us that day should not overtake us as a thief.
that we in the pilot's seat, we ought to be alert and focused on what is going on in our world. And when the world is falling apart, we ought to be able to, Matthew chapter 5, let our light so shine that people see Jesus. So can you do that? It doesn't happen accidentally. You've got to do it on purpose. It's got to be purposeful to be able to see Jesus, not to get so wrapped up in the drama, in the politics, in the murder and mayhem of life, that you fail to see that God is working. To do what? To bring to pass the final culmination of being eternity with Him forever and ever. Also in the book of Revelation, we know that seven is an important number. I like the sevens. We have lots of sevens. And if you're going through the 7 years of tribulation period, oh, there's a seven right there. And we have what? The seven seals. The seventh seal opens up the seven trumpets. At the seventh trumpet opens up the seven vial judgments. A seven is an important number. Seven blessings. And we saw no night, no curse. No more curse. Perfect restoration. Listen, you're not going to have that in your home right now. Now things are going to fall apart. The roof is going to leak. The AC system is going to quit. You're going to go home and flip the light switch and the lights are not going to go on. The plumbing is going to leak. I do the plumbing in our house. I just worked on the bathroom drain. I worked on bathroom drains often enough that I know that when I get done with a bathroom drain, I need to put a bowl underneath because I'm going to have a few drips for a few days and then they go away. You would probably not hire me to do plumbing in your house, but Mrs. Bishop will tell you, I am the best low bid we'll buy. No more curse. No more broken pipes. But right now, those things are going to break. You should not throw your hands up in despair. This day, we're way out here. This day in Revelation 22 is after the day and age in which we live. This day in Revelation 22 is after this 7 years. This day in Revelation 22 is after this 1,000 years. It's way out there. So don't throw your hands up in frustration and say, I'm just giving up. Why should I even try? And traffic is probably a good time to start thinking about how many of you get frustrated in traffic. Don't leave me up here by myself. Thank you, Lee. Lee is like, yes, yes. And you got a bumper sticker that says, follow me as I follow Christ. And you're up there in the car and you're going. And the world looks at you and go, you're no different than them. But we should be different than them. I shared with the teachers at teachers meeting. My first appointment this week was Monday. It was at 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock in the morning, I got there at 8:30 and waited for half an hour. And at 9 o'clock, my appointment didn't show up. 9:30, my appointment didn't show up. And you get frustrated. Or you can just believe God's got a plan for your life. And so I sat there and I said, Lord, my appointment's not showing up. But it does not take God by surprise where you are. And it did not take God by surprise that I was there. And so I prayed. I bowed my head and said, Lord, obviously I'm not supposed to meet that person here today. Why am I here? Who am I supposed to meet? And so, I don't know what you do when you're at a restaurant and you don't know why you're there or where you're supposed to be. I walked around to see who was there. And lo and behold, there was a lady there with her daughter that I've been witnessing to for a number of years. They were having breakfast. I walked up to their table. I'm very happy to see the Baptist preacher. And I stopped and witnessed to them and prayed with them and prayed for them. God knew they were going to be there. And God knew I was going to be there. I just didn't know that they were going to be there. But we should look for God to work in the traffic and not get frustrated and so bent out of shape that we can't reflect God's goodness. Because this day is coming, but it is a long ways off. Until then, may we reflect Christ. No night, no need of a candle, no need of artificial light. Now, Jesus Christ is a light thereof. But today you might want to have some emergency lighting. Extra candle or flashlight laying around. Why? Because the power goes out. But this power never goes out. You rely on the Lord Jesus Christ and His power. What is He doing? He's reigning forever and ever. Perfect exaltation. But in the midst of the blessings is a warning. Look at verse 7. Boy, behold, I come quickly. I say, preacher, this could be a long ways away. Hey, but God's return could come at any time. It could come tonight. First century Christians, they were looking for it right then. So much so that there were Christians, there were people that told the church at Thessalonica that they had missed the return of Jesus Christ and that the persecution of the first century of the Roman Empire, the killing of Christians, was the tribulation period. Yeah, two books, first letter to the Thessalonians, second letter to Thessalonians to say, hey, it's all right, you haven't missed it. You haven't missed it. And you haven't missed it yet. Hopefully you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. And if you do, again, that day should not overtake you as a thief. Behold, I come quickly. And here's another beatitude. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Are you keeping God's word? A blessing with a promise. Hold your finger here. Go back to Revelation chapter 1. We read verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And then you have the first beatitude. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Sounds an awful lot like verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I mean, if you like to read, if you started the Revelation series by reading the last chapter of the book, and you go back and read the first chapter, those two verses should jump out at you. Blessing with a warning, the time is at hand. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you have unfinished business? I know many of you have loved ones who are unsaved. God gives you an opportunity, share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Write them a letter, send a gospel tract, tell about what God is doing in your life. We should be pointing people to Christ. Seven's an important number. There are some 700 sevens in the Bible. Seven speaks of completion, perfection. Seven speaks of God, divine intervention. In the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, we have 7 days of creation. Of course, we've shared with you several sevens from the book of Revelation. Noah, in taking clean animals into the ark, was to take seven. Job had 7 sons. Cain received a sevenfold punishment. When Abraham went to Abimelech, he took 7 sheep. Aaron, and his sons, when they went into the tabernacle to be purified, they went for 7 days. 7 is an important number. Completion. God's power. Don't live your life in such despair that you cannot see God's power, God working in the day and age in which we live. What is the response? Back to Revelation chapter 22. What is your response to the Word of God? What is your response as you read this last chapter and you see the warning? Behold, I come quickly. In the midst of that, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In this last chapter, after the horrors of this book, for those like myself that start with the last chapter of the book, God wants you to know, He wants you to come to Him. God is not willing, I don't care what the Calvinists say, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people to be saved. And in this last chapter, that emphasis comes crystal clear. But I have preacher friends that are critical of any public invitation. I'll just tell you, we should give public invitations. We should give private invitations. We should invite our neighbors to come to Christ. And Saturday morning, we go out and we invite our neighbors of the greater community to come to Christ. We should be invitation-giving people. But many are critical of any kind of invitation because they say it engenders emotion. Emotion is not a bad thing. And we are not saved by emotion. But the Bible very clearly talks about sorrow that worketh repentance. There's nothing the matter with being sorry for your sins. John indeed had an emotional response. And sometimes our emotional responses are wrong. He fell at the feet of the angel. What did the angel say? Don't worship me. Worship God. But he had an emotional response. An understandable response in his mind, but rebuked. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed. Jesus Christ uncovered. Jesus Christ revealed to man. So in the book of Genesis, just as he is the creator, and the love of God is shown on the cross as he is the savior, the book of Revelation reveals that he is also the righteous judge. And he bears all of those positions, if you will, in perfect harmony with each other. We have judges today that do the same thing. They might go home in the workshop and make a woodcraft. Or maybe even an elaborate dresser. In their family, they might be known as loving. But when they go to work, and they go to the back office, and they put on their judicial robe, and they sit behind that desk, elevated above the courtroom, they have a duty. Those duties don't conflict. The children that and family that he loves, they're not taken back by the fact that daddy is now a judge and he has to send people to death or to prison or for payment or for restitution. They understand that. As God's children, we should understand that the loving Heavenly Father, the Creator, who loves us, is also the judge. Don't shy away from that. Don't let people push you around. And people today, they don't hide who they are. This is in the news today. The New York City, the new mayor-elect said, I am Muslim. I am a democratic socialist. I refuse to apologize for any of this. You can have free buses, fewer police. I'll control the rent. I just tell you, the world doesn't work that way. What is he? He's in for a rude awakening. I think the citizens of New York are in for a rude awakening. Elections don't take God by surprise. He's just showing who he is. In the book of Revelation, God shows who he is. Book of Genesis, again, we see him as a creator. In the Gospels, we see him as a loving Savior. In the book of Revelation, he is a righteous judge. And he will judge sin. Every wrong will be righted. Verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And then another warning in verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. Present choices result in permanent, final consequences. People say, what do people say? I don't believe that a God of love would send anybody to a devil's hell. Now, obviously, you've never been in a courtroom. People get sentenced, some brutal sentences every day. Mrs. Bishop and I were newly married. I was, again, working on a police department. She wondered what I did. And so I said, well, you know, Friday, I want to go to court with you. I said, that'd be fine. Friday is sentencing day. We'll take you up to the courthouse. And so she went to the courthouse. We sat in the front row, and she's up there, and she... Melanie, you would like that. She's just chewing her living daylights out. Well, gum is forbidden in court if you ever go there. And the deputy walked up to we're sitting in the front row. I'm in uniform. And he walks up and big deputy stands in front of Mrs. Bishop and says, do you have gum in your mouth? And Mrs. Bishop goes, no. And he said, I didn't think so. And he walked away. And then the cases were heard, and the side door opened. And it was an unusual day in the sentencing room, courtroom, there at the courthouse. Now, there are a lot of people in the room. And they were all big guys. And they're all just kind of standing around. They have one or two, maybe three, but there were like 12 guys in the room. And then the side door opened, and they brought out a guy. He had a spit hood over his head. He had restraints on his hands that were latched to his belt, that was tied around in the back, that had chains going from his wrist down to his feet, and he's walking like this. And I'll tell you what. There was a big deputy on his left. There was a big deputy on his right. And they held on to him the entire time. And Mrs. Bishop and I were sitting in the very front row. There was a divider here. And they sat that guy down right there. I'll tell you what. That guy's in big trouble. It was a murder case. He was on his final day of sentencing. And I'll tell you what. He was high risk. He was a serious offender. And I didn't want that guy let out on the street. I wanted the judge to do what was right. And God, the judge, will absolutely do what is right. Don't mistake God's love for God's justice. Today, we are in the day of God's mercy. But decisions yield consequences. If you refuse Christ, you will endure those consequences. Not because God wants to, but because you refuse the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. It's really hard to go through Revelation 22 without asking the question, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? There's been a time when you've come to God in repentance and faith and trusted Christ. This evening you say, preacher, there's never been a time, if I stood before God tonight, the righteous judge, I would be condemned and sentenced according to my sin because I have no Savior. I've never trusted Christ. You slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. I need Christ. God is speaking to my heart. Would you pray for me? If you're visiting by way of technology this evening, you've never trusted Christ, you should call me.
Father, we thank you for your grace and your goodness and your salvation. We pray that you would help us to let our light so shine that those around us would see you, and that we would never shy away from giving an invitation to someone to come to you, the loving Savior, so they do not have to face you as a righteous judge. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you have a prayer request card, send that to the aisle.